praise God. While you're on your feet, clap your hands for Brother Max Nichols. He's got a birthday. Brother Peter, would you mind delivering the mail for me? Brother Max, happy birthday. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. You got to start your birthdays all over again. After you get the Holy Ghost, you start all over. So you're only a few months old now. Think what it's going to be like when you turn 70. Praise God. Want to give thanks to God for all that he's doing. I thank God for a church family that continues and fills all the roles of responsibility. And we believe here thoroughly that one monkey doesn't stop the show. And I heard you had three good weeks, good Wednesdays and Sundays. And I appreciate Brother Hood and Brother Smith and also Brother Wilbanks for filling in the pulpit. And I appreciate the men here on in this church body that filled the pulpit and the worship and the conducting of the services. Brother John Hagedorn, Brother Reggie, good job, good work. Appreciate you. Appreciate you being available. And I just heard that you had excellent church, and that's a wonderful thing. It ought to work that way. The kingdom of God is real no matter who's on deck. The word of God is true. It doesn't matter who's standing in the midst. And this thing's been going on for 2,000 years, and we love the people. I love the preachers that have been in my life. But the kingdom of God is real outside of personality and outside of circumstance. This thing is filled with the signature of God. Praise God. Again, thanks to all those that went down to Greenville to help build a church in a day. Appreciate Brother John's report on that. We have a good number of folks that are still down there this morning, going to celebrate and have service down there this morning. Or maybe Brother Freeman will just put them to work on Sunday. Try to clear up some of that mud and all those things that need yet to be done. But isn't it wonderful to be a part of something where people get together and say, hey, what do you want to do on Saturday? I know, let's go build a church. Now, we understand this is church in a day is a phrase to communicate the building of a building, an edifice, in a day's time. We understand God's been working on this message since the beginning of time. You don't build a message overnight. You don't build a man overnight. But I have great confidence in the man that is there. And you don't build a church, which is the people. You don't do that in a day. But I know that they're there because the word of God says the fields are white, all ready to harvest. He said the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So we, together with the district, New Life, joined together this week and cast a net. And I am confident that God is going to fill the net of revival in the city of Greenville. Praise God. Why don't we just take a moment and give God praise for what he's already done and what he's going to do in that city. Praise God. We thank you, mighty God, for preparing the Freemans. And we praise you, Lord God, for the good work that you've already done there and for the sowing of your seed, power of your word in that place. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. One scripture and we'll begin. If we can remember where we were the last time we were together, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs 4 and 23. And we're going to continue a study through the book of Proverbs. And we're looking at life qualities as discussed, derived from wisdom and understanding and knowledge. You know, if you come into the wisdom of God, there are qualities that emerge in your life. And these qualities have the power to establish you and to enhance your life, to cause you to actualize the potential that God has placed within you, to be what God has made you to be. Outside the wisdom and understanding of God, there are lives by the millions going to waste, and families falling apart, and individuals who were destined and called by God to live for God and to shine like stars forever in the kingdom. They will forever be doomed to darkness because they lacked the simple understanding and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. But in that wisdom, we find life qualities, and many of those we've already talked about. Today, we're going to talk about diligence. Would you say, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you need to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart will arise the issues of life. Praise God. You understand the power of that? It doesn't matter so much what's happening around you, but it matters what happens inside of you. Character after character, testimony after testimony through the Word of God. The externals and the circumstances are not what makes you in the kingdom of God. But when the kingdom is born within you, the pressure within is greater than the pressure without. And the destiny of God will not be thwarted by your enemy or the devil or all of hell's legions or the circumstances around you. Not if you have a mind to live for God, to set your hand to the kingdom of God. God bless you. You can be seated, and let's give God praise and thanks for his word today that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We magnify you. That's a little too temperate. Let's open up our mouths and praise God for his word that created the heavens and the earth. We bless your name, O God, for your word forever settled. Praise God. Praise God. Now, we've looked at this scripture in particular for several different occasions for different reasons. But I want your focus today to be on the word diligence. Keep your heart is the commandment. Keep it with all diligence, which in this word instructs us with great carefulness and great determination to keep our heart, because once your heart is fouled or corrupted, it's difficult to get back to God. And your heart is where all of life emerges from, because all of life is your response to life and your response. You see, you've been trying to change the other person, but God wants to change you. You've been trying to get God to change the circumstance, but God wants to change your heart. Praise God. God can change every circumstance and can disappear the heavens and the earth in one moment's time. That's going to happen. But the journey of character development is the story of the Word of God. Keep thy heart with all diligence. And in this phrase, we get a tremendous key and tremendous information for our lives. Keep your heart. How do I keep my heart? With diligence. Everybody say, I keep my heart with diligence. Diligence is one of those life qualities as represented by the book of Proverbs that emerges from the wisdom of God. And as I employ and I appropriate diligence in my life, then I, by doing so, just by nature, keep my heart and keep my spirit. Diligence is a life quality that escapes a lot of people. Just by common denotation, diligence is just hard work. It's industry. It's the counter of laziness. A diligent person is the biblical opposite, the polar opposite to the sluggard, the biblical sluggard. And we may get around to talking about the sluggard. You might be a sluggard if. You don't want to be that. You want to have a life filled with the life qualities of the Word of God. Notably, today, we want to talk about having diligence. But around that denotation of hard work and industry, there is the nuance of that word that implies paying special attention to detail. Wisely applying your hands to the work before you. Hard work, but not sloppy work, diligent work, doing the job and doing the job well, doing the job and doing it right. Now, as it is with the word character and other words like that, those are generic terms that are neutral, that could be positive or you could be a person of bad character. And so character itself is not a good thing. Diligence, if you're working in an evil cause, is not what we're talking about today. And so everything we discuss here today is against the backdrop of the Word of God. And diligence is in pursuit of the Word of God. It's fulfillment in your life, laying your hands to the kingdom's work and doing the work of becoming what God has called you as an individual to become. If you can achieve that and be excellent in that, everything else in life will fall into place. People around you have gotten it backward all their life. They're pursuing the stuff, but God wants to deal with them. And the irony of it is, if you'll go ahead and do business with God, the stuff will work itself out. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Spiritual things are primary. Natural things are secondary. Our world, especially this Western culture, is drowning in the secondary and leaving the primary undone. They're in hot pursuit of the natural gain, the natural pleasure, the natural achievement. But inside, Jesus talked about the people of his day. He said, you're like a sepulcher. You're whitewashed on the outside. You look good on the outside, but on the inside you're filled with dead men's bones. You don't want to live an existence like that. You want to have this thing right, but it starts being right down on the inside first. It doesn't matter what kind of coat you're wearing. It doesn't matter what kind of car you're driving. It doesn't matter what kind of house you're living in. If the house of your life is corrupted on the inside, let's get it right inside. Tell your neighbor, let's get it right on the inside. And then the outside will take care of itself. Yeah, and it requires diligence. You know, as Noah built that boat on the course of 100 years, plank by plank, timber by timber, peg by peg, I can't even imagine that job site and what was going on roiling in his mind. But he knew the call of God, and he knew the purpose of God, and the circumstances didn't matter. And the voice of those that were his decriers outside, where is the rain? Where is the flood? Why are you living like that? Why do you spend your time plank by plank and timber by timber building the kingdom of God in your life? But Noah knew a secret, that every day, every step, every peg, every plank, I am building my own salvation. I am building that yokes me together with God. I am creating something in my life that will defeat all the external circumstances. My God, clap your hands unto him. Somebody that's up against a wall. Somebody that's up against an enemy. Somebody that's struggling and the enemy's breathing into your brain and trying to corrupt your faith. I want you to tell him today, step by step, day by day, I'm applying the kingdom of God and I'm saving my soul. Work out your own salvation. One of the most heinous and perverted things that's been perpetrated upon humanity has been the doctrine of the Reformation. Perhaps darker than the deep, dark caverns of those empty, mystical, Gothic cathedrals where the tyranny and the domination of that pagan church control the lives and the fortunes of all those who were under their control. And then the Protestants broke away and they were so venomous in their hatred of mother Catholicism that they broke away and they said, don't have to do anything. Don't do anything. You're saved by faith and not by works. But the Bible's screaming in the face of that lie and saying, you need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And the Apostle James says, faith without works is dead. There's something to do. There's always something to do. There's a garden to treat, to keep. There's a tree to abstain from. There's an ark to build. There's a tabernacle to build. There's a mountain to climb. There's always something for God's people to do. Praise God. And the subject today is, it's not enough to know it. It's not enough simply to do it. But I've got to do it with diligence. of all that I do in life. Brother Travis, I want to go to the job site and do a good job, and I want to make a living for my family and for my life. But the natural is always instructive to the spiritual. He taught parables using natural devices. The natural, all of life about you, and the stories that he told in the parables, and the miracles that he worked on the natural plane, they are communicative vehicles for what God would have you know in the spirit. My God, I feel Holy Ghost in this house today. I don't know if it's just because I'm going through withdrawal or what. But the parables are communicative vessels, instructive of spiritual things. And so the job that I do here, and that I do it well, is a good thing. But it is only secondary to the spiritual application. Praise God. I want you, this is not always true, but these things tend to generalize. You find somebody who is diligent about natural things. And by the way, that's a skill set. It's not something you're born with. It's something you're trained into. There are people who do not know how to work. There are people who have been trained not to work. It's your passive aggressive resistance to a society that may have been unkind to you or yours. And so you just sit down on them. But all of that is the rumbling noise of the natural. It is only an implier of that is spiritual. People that get it right in the natural don't necessarily have it right in the spiritual, but they are equipped should they decide to live for God. It's a lot. If you're lazy and if you are a sluggard, it is hard for you to live for God. But it is easy for you to believe a message that says you don't have to do anything. You walk in the church house when you want to, on your terms. You come to God. God bows down to your terms. You live the way you want to live, and God's going to let you live forever in heaven. You know that's not true in life. That cannot be true in the spirit. It won't be true in the spirit. Diligence doesn't necessarily generalize to the spirit, but it'll sure give you a leg up. But if you come into the kingdom of God without diligence to survive and to succeed and to fulfill your calling in the kingdom of God, you'll have to come by this life quality called diligence. Lazy people do not live for God. Lazy people will not fulfill their calling in the kingdom of God. Lazy people will not lay down their sin, because it's work to quit sinning. Somebody ought to say amen. It's work to get up in the morning and do it right in the natural. And it's work to get up in the morning and do it right in the spirit. I want you to know this. Every morning the lion gets up. And every morning the gazelle gets up. And every day, they don't get a day off. Somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. You got to hear this today. Every day you get up and every day the devil gets up. And I'll tell you, somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. Today, I can't take a day off. I've got to be diligent about this business of living for God. I want to be up and on the job and doing my work in the kingdom. Somebody say diligence. Praise God. The sixth chapter. Logan, is that you? The sixth chapter of Proverbs and verse 6. Everyone say, go to the ant. Thou sluggard. Sluggard is a word we may use quite often here. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's like a slug. You ever worked with anybody like a slug? It's like, make me have a nervous breakdown. I've got this thing done all by myself, but don't make me work with a sluggard. I'm coming. I'm going to pray one day. I'll get around to praising God. This is the extent of their praise. Praise God. Everyone say, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. See how the natural speaks to you and informs you of the spiritual? Verse 7. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. You say that. Verse 8. Provideth her meat in the summer. And gathereth her food in the harvest. Praise God. He said a little ant is an instruction for you as pertaining to spiritual things. You watch that ant. Nobody's there saying, now go and do this. Nobody with a whip cracking over their head. But their little line is going out and they'll find the food and they'll bring it back to the mound. And if you're a person involved with pest control or horticulture, you deal with ants all the time and you know how industrious they are. And they build up their treasure for the winter time. And they're very, very tiny people. But each one of them can only bring a tiny little fraction into the ant colony. But it's just diligence. It's diligence. Here they are. They're working. It rains them out. They get washed down to Timbuktu and wherever. You come back in a couple of days and here they are again. You run over that ant hill with a lawnmower and turn it into pulverization, and they're coming back. They're going to build it up again. You got to kill them all. You got to kill the queen. You got to, I mean, pour gas on that thing and set it on fire. And they'll be back. They'll be back. What are they? They're diligent. They're like, oh God, I can't do this anymore. He ran over me with a lawnmower. It's like, no, circumstances don't matter. Build it again. The coal doesn't matter. Nothing matters. I don't care if you hate me. I hate ants. All right. They don't care if you hate them. They're coming back to your yard. They don't care about the circumstance or your personality. They're just tunnel visioned. They are looking at that one thing, that one goal, that calling in life, whatever it is God's put down in their little ant brain. That's what they're going to do. And God's instructing you to be like them, and that is wisdom because it portrays diligence. Here you are. Here you are. You're doing the work of God. What? It's Sunday morning. I'm in the house of God. It's Sunday night. I'm in the house of God. It's Wednesday night. I'm in the house of God. It's my prayer time on Monday. I'm in prayer. It's my prayer time on Tuesday. I'm in prayer. It's my prayer time on Wednesday. I'm in prayer. It's time to worship. I'm worshiping. It's time to give. I'm giving. It's time to shout. I'm shouting. I'm wash me away to Timbuktu, but give me a little bit of time. It may take me a little bit of time to get knock me down. I might be a moment or two getting up, but I'll be back. I'm going to build up this house. You can knock the house down. We'll build it back again. Somebody say praise the Lord. Diligence. Diligence. You knock me down, you can beat my brains out, but we're coming at you again. Diligence. Diligence. I'll go 15 rounds with you and I'll come back for another one. You may knock me down every round, but you're going to have to knock me down again in the 16th. It's going to be diligence because I know if I come after you again, God's going to be with me. God's in my corner. God's going to give me everything I need if I am diligent. Praise God. Somebody say diligence. Diligence serves you well in every natural enterprise. It will serve you well in the primary enterprise of life, which is living for God. Logan, 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. Everybody say, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you can't do it to the glory of God, don't do it. But if you're going to do it, tell your neighbor. But if you're going to do it to the glory of God. Do your best. Do it right. Do it with energy. Do it with strength. Do it with excellence. Praise God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Logan, you're good. You're there. I'm not looking back and checking on you either. I just assume you're doing this with diligence. Everyone say, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, tell your neighbor if you do it or if you say it. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let me give you a brief commercial for baptism. This simply means that if you're going to baptize somebody to do it biblically, you got to put them down in the name of Jesus. If you say it or if you do it. And baptism is doing it and saying it. Do it in the name of Jesus. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. Praise God. If you walk on the job tomorrow, I know some of you have jobs that you don't like, but do a good job, because you're not working for the boss man. You're working for the Lord. Come on, somebody. I know you may be going to school and you might not like that class. You may not like that teacher, but you're not serving them. You're serving God. The teacher's irrelevant. The boss is irrelevant. The pay is irrelevant. It's what I'm doing right now, because I know this, that if I lean not to my own understanding, but if I trust in the Lord and I acknowledge Him in all my ways, then God will direct my path. So where I am is where God has led me. If I've been doing the preface there, God has led me. And so I'm serving God. If I'm laying bricks, I want to be the best bricklayer. If I'm cutting meat, I want to be the best butcher. If I'm, whatever I'm doing, if I'm working at McDonald's, I want to be the very best quarter pounder maker McDonald's has ever had. Diligence. Because the thing is not the product, and the thing is not the circumstance. The thing is, where is your heart, and what are you doing? Are you diligent? Do it all in the name of the Lord. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Praise God. Okay, one more. Colossians 3 and 23. Everyone say, whatsoever. That's such an expansive word. It doesn't leave room for loopholes. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Would you say, as unto the Lord and not unto men? Praise God. So when you get up in the morning, you go to the job and you do it heartily. If you're a housewife and you're keeping house and you're doing a good job there, you do it heartily as unto men. Don't you let this society frustrate you because you're not out somewhere with an MBA making $1 billion. Whatever you're doing, you're raising your kids, you're keeping your home, you're doing the work of God. Do it with diligence in God. If you're making brick, no matter what you're doing, whatsoever you do. And I'm not giving you any instruction as to what you should do. I'm just telling you, whatever you do, do it all diligently. And as unto the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You know, the will of God, the will of God is something that is really difficult for people to get a handle on. Part of that, and to some degree, that's an evasion. That's an abdication of responsibility. Well, if I only knew the will of God, if I knew what God wanted me to do, then I would do it. But that's a ruse. That's not intellectually honest. Because the will of God is not next year or next month or in Africa or Asia or doing some far-flung wonderful thing. But the will of God is right here, right now, today. What are you doing? What are you doing? Because the will of God will work itself out in your life if you're doing the will of God today. Some people will never get to the perfect will of God in their life because they're not doing, they're waiting for that to happen. And when that happens, then I'm really going to be a ball of fire. When that comes, you won't recognize me, because then I'm going to be great. But you're great today. That makes you great wherever the will of God will take you. Does anybody hear this and understand this today? The will of God is doing with diligence what God has put on your plate today, i.e. Joseph. Joseph is a favorite son with a dream in his life. He has heard from God. He's touched and anointed of God. But he doesn't know, and neither do you if you haven't read the story, that before the story's over, he's going to be in a pit. But the pit can't control him or diminish the vision and the dream in his life. He winds up sold into slavery in the house of Potiphar. And he becomes the very best slave, the very best slave, the very best slave. You know, when Paul's writing to servants, He said, you be the very best. Matter of fact, those passages we took out of Colossians were all about you be the best servant you can be. And when he writes to the masters, he says, you be the best master you can be. And he holds each individual responsible for diligence in their personal universe. Praise God. And what does Joseph do? He takes over the house by being diligent in the menial job that he's been given. And the boss man sees his diligence, and the boss man puts him over everything in the house of Potiphar. The same thing will happen in the prison, and it's by virtue of his diligence. Faithfulness and diligence are married together. They are inseparable. Praise God. But a lot of people don't realize that your diligence in natural things, in human things, in societal things, in what God has placed in your hands today. God will give you something today to build you, to prove you, to make you, to instruct you. God will give you a job today that you hate to create the capacity to do something that he has for you in the future. God will bring you through a valley today just to see how you're going to respond. God will call you to the top of a mountain and place a burden of mandate upon your heart just to see how you're going to do when he calls. Listen, there's not going to be anybody in heaven that didn't walk that way down here first. You won't get there by surprise. You'll get there because you were diligent in everything you did. Typically, if you're sloppy in your natural life, you're sloppy in your spiritual life. An absence of diligence in your natural life, whether you're a student, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a builder, whether you're a banker, whatever you are, an absence of diligence in your natural life generally points to an absence of diligence in your spiritual life. I want this quality. I want this quality. When Jesus tells the story about the woman and the unjust judge, he's teaching on prayer. It's Luke chapter 18. He begins by saying, I would that men would pray and faint not. Don't quit praying. And after telling them that, the whole story is about prayer. He tells them about the little widow and the unjust judge. He says the judge didn't fear God, didn't fear man. That judge in the story is a type of God. The woman in the story is a type of you or me. And she goes to him and she pounds on the door and she goes to him and she says, avenge me my adversaries. And she does it over and over and over and over and over until finally the guy has a nervous breakdown and does what she's asked him to do. I don't fear God, I don't fear man, but this little woman's driving me nuts. And at the end of that story, Jesus says that he's coming back. He said, I'll bear long with my people. But when I get ready to move, he said, I'm going to do it speedily. He said, listen to what the widow woman and the unjust judge are saying. You need to know the story. But at the end, he says, and when I return, will I find faith on the earth? When I return, will I find faith on the earth? Now, what is he using as a gauge in that discussion about faith being on the earth? That little woman kept coming back. She kept coming back. She needed something and she was diligent about it. Her job was to harass that judge, and she was diligent in it. And Jesus equates it with faith. Faith and diligence. Diligence, or the application of faith in your life. We look at faith more as an internal. I've talked to you about the fact that faith is not what you think or feel, but faith is what you do. Diligence then is the manner by which you apply faith in your life. It's going to be all right. God's going to fill every need. I'm not backing up. I'm not giving up. I'm not slowing down. Well, why? You see the circumstances. Yeah, but the circumstances don't matter. You see, I have faith that God is going to make everything all right. And my faith lives itself out in my diligence. Why are you so happy and friendly on the job? Why do you treat people so kindly? Because I know none of this really matters. I know God has it all in control. So I'm not bitter, and I'm not angry, and I'm not mean-spirited, and I'm all about the kingdom of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you clap your hands into him a little bit? Praise God. Praise God. Diligence. Somebody say diligence. Somebody say, God, give me diligence. My God, it's the manifestation of wisdom in your life. Praise God. Logan, if you could give me Proverbs 10:4 and 10:5. 10:4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Now understand, he's speaking in the natural, but he's being instructive in the spirit. He becomes poor that deals with a slack hand. If you're not working hard spiritually, you'll be in spiritual poverty. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Anybody in the house want to be rich spiritually? I didn't ask you if you wanted to be rich naturally, because everybody wants to be rich naturally. But you can't take the natural riches with you. But you can take the spiritual riches with you. And in the end of the matter, the spiritual riches will be all that really mattered. So he's encouraging diligence. Don't work with a slack hand. Don't just say, I will do it any old way. Do it the right way. Do it as unto God. Do it with passion. Verse 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. And he's talking about the natural, but he's being instructive concerning the spirit. Praise God. And the harvest here is the harvest of God. And he that gathers in summer is wise, but he that sleeps in the harvest. I'm telling you, we're right in the middle of the harvest right now. There's people that don't understand going down to build a church in a day. There's folks that don't understand giving up your Saturday for a block party or going down to Centerville and passing out tracts. They don't understand that. But I want you to know, it's summertime. The harvest is already here. It's time to work in the kingdom of God. Let the deer hunters go hunt a deer, but do it with diligence. Let the fishermen go fish for a trout or a bass, but do it with diligence. This is not a message about you got to lead a monkish existence and you can't do anything but things directly related to church. That's not what the message is. But the message is when it's time to do it, rise up and be a leader in it. Rise up and do it with passion in the kingdom of God. There are people that don't understand the pursuit of the spiritual, but this natural is going to pass away. Praise God. Chapter 12, verse 11, Logan. He that tills his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. This seems very simple in the natural. If you do the work, you'll have the bread. In the spirit, can I tell you, if you'll do the work, you'll have the bread. If you'll do the plowing, you'll have the victory in the spirit. But you can't get the victory in the spirit without the plowing. If you want to know how you plow in the spirit, it's like they've been plowing in the spirit for all the ages of the church. The plowing happens down in an altar. The plowing happens with the hands of the ministry on the pulpit, and we plow the heart of a man or of a woman, and we create a circumstance where the word of God can find itself down in there and come to fruition. Plow. Lazy people don't pray. Prayerlessness is an indication of laziness in the spirit, because you believe some word about you don't have to do anything. You just show up and smile. I'm telling you, there's places to go. There's a spiritual universe to explore. There are mines that are filled with gold and silver and precious stones ready to be dug out of the earth in the spirit. I'm telling you, if you'll develop yourself a prayer life, you'll go places in God you never even imagined. God can open up a door in the natural. You can't affect what God wants to do for you in the spiritual by making more money in the natural. You can't affect the course of the kingdom of God by being better on the natural job. You can't get a promotion in heaven by being a CEO on the earth. But if you want to flip that upside down If you're excellent about the things of God, you can get a promotion on the natural job. You can get a raise on the natural job. You can have a door open up to you in the natural. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. You can tell a lot about yourself by monitoring your thought life. What are you dreaming about? What are you thinking about? What do you think would make everything all better? Boy, if I could get that raise, if I could get that promotion, if I could make another, whatever that price tag is in your brain, X number of thousand a year, if I could do that, then everything would be all right. I'm telling you, if those thoughts and dreams, if you begin to project them in the spirit, if I could just see the face of God, if I could just see 100 soul revival in my church, if I could just see God moving in my home and in my family, you let those things become the target of your passion. And the other things, the secondary things, can be affected by the spiritual things. Is there anybody in the house that knows that already? You're already seeing the evidence of that in your life. Anybody excited about what God is about to do in your spiritual life and in your natural life? Praise God. Praise God. Circumstances and emotional negatives and somewhere over the rainbow thinking obscures diligence in your life. That's right. If you think about how rotten everything is every day, you don't put your heart into what you're doing. If all you're going to give me is the litany of everything that's wrong with your husband or with your wife or with your house or with your kids or with your job or with your school, if you're going to give me that litany, it tells me that's where your thought life is. And even if all of those things were fixed, it would not enhance the spiritual things, spiritual values of your life. But if you'll make that list a list of spiritual pursuits, you can affect every natural area of your life. I'm going to be diligent. My partner may not be yet, but I'm going to be diligent. My friend may not be living for God right yet, but I'm going to be diligent. My parents may not be doing the right thing, but I'm going to be diligent. The United Pentecostal Church may not be doing everything right, but I'm going to be diligent. You understand? Things have the power to obscure the strength of diligence in your life. A couple of more scriptures and we'll move out for today. Are you doing okay? Are you all right? Does this make sense to you? Is this helpful? I mean, we can just go to McDonald's or something here. Okay. Or maybe somewhere else. I don't know. Chapter 12 and verse 24. Logan. Everyone say, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. Now, tell your neighbor, I know you like that in the natural. I know you like bearing rule. But this is really instructive of the spirit. And it's in the spirit where you really need to have rule. Anybody want domination in the spirit? Anybody want to have authority in your home and in your city and in your family and in your life? This is the word of God verbatim. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. As you are diligent and you practice that as a lifestyle, God will give you authority. You know the Covey teaching about your circle? Yes, no, you never heard of that. You don't understand the language I'm speaking. What? Are you familiar with Covey's circle of influence? Covey's circle of influence. Everybody's worried about stuff outside the circle. You're worried about your mother-in-law. That's not your mother-in-law there, is it? You're worried about the boss. You're worried about all of those things outside your circle. But in reality, that's an exercise in frustration because you don't have any power over those things or those people or those circumstances. And so you think about them, you're dominated by them, and you are eternally frustrated because that's the definition of frustration, is trying to have control over something you have no power over. And so you pull in all of your resources into your own circle and you do what you can do. If you're Joseph, you be the best servant you can be. And your circle grows.
If you're in prison and you're Joseph, you be the best prisoner you can be. And your circle grows and become prime minister of Egypt. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody, make your circle. Make your circle. Turn. No, that's too big. You got to link. Oh, you're dreaming. You're dreaming about. The Bible says the diligent shall bear rule. If you're diligent about what's in your circle's going to grow. And you're going to have authority in places you've never been before. You're going to have authority in things that you want to have. You want to control the circumstances? Apply yourself diligently in your own circle. And that's going to grow. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. And do your circle again. And tell your neighbor. And by the way, stay in your own circle. Stay out of mine. Yeah, that's good. Oh, that's worth the ticket of being here today. That's right. Stay in your own circle. My God, what wisdom. What divine wisdom. We're gonna stop. The rest of that, but the slothful. Everyone say the slothful. Shall be under tribute. Tribute is taxes. Tribute is taxes or something you pay to somebody else. And so if you're diligent, you'll have authority. If you're slothful, you'll be under authority. Not in the good sense, okay? Because being under authority is a good thing and expected of everybody. 12 and 27. No, let's don't do that. That's just about Brother Cliff. Or about Brother Harold and these deer hunters. Oh, we could go there, I guess. 12 and 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. But if he knows, if he has the capacity to network, he can get in touch with somebody that can bring him a deer roast. The slothful man, and the spiritual application is if you don't hunt and you're not good. Brother Cliff, how many people have you taken hunting that didn't kill anything? Oh, I didn't say identify them. I said count them. What's their problem? They won't what? They won't stay in the stand long enough. They won't, what do they do? Get down and take a walk in a place with people with guns? They go do other things? Like, what is there to do? There's phone booths on a oak tree? What? How long do you have to stay in that stand? Sometimes all day. Do you move at all? That's what you call diligence. Maybe insanity. I don't know. But yeah, but the slothful man, he doesn't take anything in his hunting because he's not diligent about it. Diligence in hunting. The spiritual application is sometimes you just have to wait on God. I'm tired. I'm sick. And tired of waiting on God, but sometimes you have to just wait on God. God, I'm gonna go do something else. Well, you won't get. You know what's horrible is when the gift of God or the promise of God comes into intersection with your life, and you're not there because you went to do something else. You know what happened, Logan, when you got down out of that stand and you went and got breakfast? Boone and Crockett buck came by your stand and went, kill me. The promise and the blessing of God, if you are diligent, will intersect with your life and you'll be there. I don't want to miss that when it comes. How many times does that happen in my life? How many times will that happen? How many chances will I get? How many new beginnings can be mine? How many, you know, you're young. You know, all these guys over Ryan. You're young, and you think the chances keep coming. And they'll always be there. And I'm not picking on you. You just happen to be there, you know. I'll pick on Chase. But they won't always be there.
Listen, I'm going to tell you a secret. And this is worth the price of your admission today. You're going to get old. And it comes a whole lot faster than you're thinking right now. And when you get old like me, you're going to go, boy, that was fast. It went by. I mean, I was just a few minutes ago daydreaming about Sister Sutton. And we were 15. And now I'm old and creaking and bald. And it happened just like that. But along the chartered course of your life, same song and dance as it was with Joseph, there are these blessings and these promises that are already on the way. Because God never does anything at the last moment. The things of God are prepared from the foundation of the earth. Before you were born, these things were coming into intersection with where you would be, just like a great quarterback. I'm connecting with him because he's young. He doesn't throw the ball to where you are. He throws the ball to where you're going to be. That's a lot of skill. And God does that over thousands of years. But what happens if you're not there? If you, by lack of diligence, decide, I'm going to go chase a skirt. God, I'll be back in a little while. I'm going to go chase a skirt. How many times will that reoccur in your life? I don't know. It's going to be a sad, sad thing, though, to get at the end of this and to hear the lament of the ages sung by the masses at the white throne judgment. And the song will be this song, What Might Have Been. What might have been, because you're going to see at the judgment all the opportunities missed, all the chances, all the blessings that came to your life. Let's stand together. But you, through lack of diligence, were not there to intersect with them. My God, I want to walk with wisdom. We'll work on this a little bit more tonight, but could we pray a little bit right now? Could you just lift up your heart and lift up your prayer before God right now? Praise God. God, with everything I do, I want to do it with energy. I want you to grant me the wisdom to be diligent, to see the things that need so desperately to be taken care of. This altar is open if you'd like to come now, if you already know, and you'd just like to come and pray. Somebody needs to pray a prayer of repentance, but somebody needs to pray a prayer and just say, God, I want this. I want to be the very best. I want to be excellent in the spirit, excellent in my home and my family. I want to be excellent, oh God, in my spiritual walk. I want to have a prayer life that will touch heaven and shake the throne of God. God, I want to have a prayer life that will move somebody in this city and draw them to the kingdom. God, I want to have a witness that will penetrate all the hardness, all the deadness around me. Never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, but you'd like to receive that today, and I would suggest to you that you come to the altar and don't let anything turn you aside, but this promise of God is true and you can have it today. If you've never had your sins washed away by going down in the water in Jesus' name, come today. Come today, repent of your sins, let God wash your sins away. There's nothing in heaven or earth that can stop you today if you with diligence will come before God. Hallelujah.
Somebody do the work of the church now. We've got somebody seeking the Holy Ghost right now.